turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. We, of course, did a very lengthy Sunday school series on the 23rd Psalm. We have nothing new to add to that, but without a doubt, the 23rd Psalm is probably the most widely recognized passage of Scripture. It may be the most committed to memory passage of Scripture. And of those who recognize it and commit it to memory, most view it as beautiful poetry that perhaps makes them feel good. But sadly and tragically, very, very few know the real meaning of this psalm. There are very few who can personally identify with it in their lives. It's a song about a personal relationship with God. It's a song about confidence in the Lord. It is a song about a personal experience with the Lord. It's a song of faith. It's a song of hope and joy. It's a song that flows from a heart that is no doubt in love with the Lord and has great reverence for the Lord and has great gratitude toward the Lord and is filled with wonder toward the Lord as well. But again, sadly, it's irrelevant in the lives of most. But for those who truly know this psalm, it is of unsurpassed beauty and depth. It is a psalm with great depth. It's a very simple psalm, but yet there's an untold depth to it. It's a psalm, those who know the psalm, who can identify with it, it is a psalm in which you will find cheer and peace and calm and comfort, relief, liberty, courage, and assurance. So as you read through this 23rd Psalm, it's not difficult to see that it's a very beautiful and moving picture of the blessedness of the child of God. And what many fail to realize while reading this psalm is that it is a beautiful and moving word picture and illustration of a life that you and I can live, an abundant life, a life that every child of God can live. What we see here is a life consistently experiencing the leading of God, God's peace, God's refreshment, God's grace, God's presence, God's authority, God's control, His provision, His goodness, and His mercy. And again, it's a life that every child of God can live. We tonight just want to read the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is the opening statement of this 23rd Psalm. It is a statement that establishes the theme of the psalm, the theme of the life that is illustrated in the psalm. The opening statement, this verse 1, establishes the basis not only of the psalm, but it establishes the basis of the life that the psalm illustrates. The opening statement establishes the tone, again, not only of the psalm, but of the life that it illustrates. The psalm has a tone of conviction, has a tone of excitement and assurance. And this tone, as you read through the psalm, it's obvious, it rises and builds through the psalm until it reaches its pinnacle in verse 6. And again, what we read here is the life that every child of God can live. But we want to take our thoughts tonight just from this first verse. And we want to speak upon my shepherd, the Lord is. My shepherd, the Lord is. So first of all, let's consider this opening statement here in verse 1, some general points regarding the text, and we'll give an English grammar 101 lesson. But Psalm 23:1 is a sentence. It is a sentence. Not every verse in the Bible is a sentence. Some verses are several sentences. Several verses may be a sentence. But what we have here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is a sentence. Now, a sentence, of course, is a set of words that express a complete thought. A sentence must have a subject. The subject here, of course, is the Lord. The subject tells us what the sentence is about. It's the heart of the sentence. A sentence also must have a predicate. It must have two things. It must have a subject. It must have a predicate. A predicate is simply a statement about the subject. Now, there are different types of sentences. Not all sentences are the same. There are declarative sentences. A sentence, of course, that just declares a fact. There are interrogative sentences. They, of course, ask a question. There are imperative sentences. They, of course, express a command. And there is what is known as exclamatory sentences, sentences that express a very strong feeling. So reading our text, we see that it does not ask a question. And it does not issue a command. So we know it's not an interrogative sentence, and it is not an imperative sentence. But it does make a statement. So therefore, it is a declarative sentence. But really, it is as you read the words, you've got to know that those words are written with a very strong feeling. That, of course, makes it an exclamatory sentence. So I believe it's both. It's declarative and it's exclamatory. Now, a sentence is made up of clauses and phrases. And these act as parts of speech, and they're very important because they're the building block of the sentence. Every sentence is a clause. Not every clause is a sentence. So a clause must contain a subject, and a clause must contain a verb. There are two types of clauses. There are independent clauses, which of course is just an independent thought that makes complete sense standing by itself. The Lord is my shepherd. That's a complete thought. It makes sense standing all by itself. The Lord is my shepherd. So that is an independent clause. There are also dependent clauses. They too contain a subject and a verb, but the difference is they are dependent upon an independent clause to express its full meaning, which brings us to the second part of verse 1, I shall not want. That is a dependent clause. It depends upon the Lord is my shepherd for its full meaning. Also, Psalm 23, you need to view it, has a paragraph. Now, a good way to think of a paragraph is think of it as a box, and it is a box of thought. And a paragraph usually contains several sentences. And the sentences are related to a particular topic. So a paragraph must have a topic sentence, a sentence stating the topic of the paragraph. In our text, Psalm 23:1, is the topic sentence of the paragraph, which is the 23rd Psalm. The topic is the Lord. The main idea being is He's my shepherd. The other part of the topic is I, with the main idea being, shall not want. So the rest of the psalm is the development of this topic. The topic is Psalm 23, verse 1. So everything in the psalm flows from this simple yet complex statement, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Everything that follows has its basis in this statement. So the rest of the psalm is basically David meditating upon this fact or this topic, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So let's look at the details of this first clause. The first clause is, the Lord is my shepherd. That's the first clause. Independent clause stands alone, can be a sentence in itself. Notice it opens with the, immediately introducing something very definite, something fix, something exact. In this case, the Lord. The Lord. This is the fact. Those two words state the fact, the existence, the actuality, and the certainty of the Lord. The Lord. It is a name that declares the absolute being of God. It declares His existence, His eternity, His immutability. It is a name that declares He's the unchanging, settled one. He's the self-sufficient one. It is a name that declares His sovereignty, that is, He's supreme. He's above and over all. He possesses absolute dominion. Next, there is the verb is. Present tense. That is, always, repeatedly, habitually. The Lord is. The Lord is always. The Lord is always who and what He is. And then what follows is, my shepherd. This is the predicate. It's the statement about the subject. The subject is the Lord. This is a statement about the subject. He is my shepherd. So that brings us to the practical aspect of this first clause. Again, it's the practical aspect is brought out by the use of the first person singular possessive pronoun, my. Very small word, but oh, what an important word it is. It's a word full of meaning. The Lord is my. So what is being declared in an exclamatory way is more than just a theological declaration of the being and the person of God. It is a declaration of how the Lord relates to David as an individual. As you and I read it, it is a declaration of how the Lord relates to you and I as an individual. The Lord is my. There is a personal connection between the Lord and the psalmist. And the psalmist here makes a confident recognition of that fact. The Lord is my shepherd. That is, the Lord is relevant to my life. The Lord is applicable to my life. He sees the Lord as connected to his life. He sees the Lord as pertinent to himself. Who and what the Lord was a reality to the psalmist. And this same sentiment is graphically expressed in every verse of this 23rd Psalm. Throughout the Psalm, he uses the personal pronouns of my, I, and me 16 times. And each and every time it is in connection with the Lord. He does not use the plural us, we, and our, though all that would be true. But it's much more personal than that. The Lord is my. Which immediately tells us that he's speaking of something more than a mere religion. He's speaking of something more than theology. The Lord is my. He's speaking of his identity with the Lord, his link, his bond to the Lord. And as you read the 23rd Psalm, you see that he has a personal knowledge and experience of the Lord. There's a personal sharing with the being and person of the Lord. There's a friendship with the Lord. There's a companionship. There's a togetherness with the Lord. And all through the 23rd Psalm, we see David depending upon the Lord. He's leaning upon the Lord. He's trusting the Lord. He's delighting in him. This is more than religion. This is more than theological systems. Religion and theological systems talk about these things, but this is a personal experience of these things. Now, there are many beautiful things throughout this psalm, but they're only that. They're only things if it is detached and isolated from the opening statement, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." If you do not know him as your shepherd, you may look at the 23rd Psalm and you may see beautiful things. But again, keep in mind that's all they are, is things detached from verse 1. But if verse 1 is real, everything you read in this psalm is a reality in your life. So let's look at the specifics of this practical aspect. The Lord is my shepherd. It is a statement that recognizes the greatness of God. It is a statement that recognizes the superiority of God and the smallness of man. In the statement, the psalmist takes the position of the sheep. In doing so, he takes the position of the recipient of the Lord as a shepherd. It is a position of distinction. It is a position of privilege. The Lord is my shepherd. It is a position of need. Sheep, of course, are a very needful creature. They're very timid. They have poor eyesight. They are directionally challenged at best. They have a tendency to wander. They have a tendency to become lost. They have very self-destructive habits. They are easily frightened. They are easily disturbed. They very easily become restless. They're easily exhausted. They're prone to disease. It's no wonder that God's people are compared to sheep. It's a very fit metaphor for you and I. Sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. And the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd." That is, the Lord, exactly as he is and forever will be, is my caregiver. He's my provider. He's my guardian. He's my leader. He's my guide. He's my keeper. The Lord is my shepherd. It is a statement of being the property or belonging to someone else, in this case, belonging to the Lord. It is a position of submission. The Lord is my shepherd. Again, it's more than a theological truth. It's a personal, relevant reality in his life. But just think about those three words. The Lord is. You see that all through the Word of God. In Exodus 9:27, the Lord is righteous. In Exodus 18:11, the Lord is greater than all gods. In Numbers 14:18, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy. In Joshua 22:34, the Lord is God. In 1 Samuel 2:3, the Lord is a God of knowledge. In 2 Chronicles 25:9, the Lord is able. In Psalm 10:16, the Lord is King forever. In Psalm 34:8, the Lord is good. In Psalm 34:18, the Lord is nigh. In Psalm 92:15, the Lord is upright. There is no unrighteousness in him. In Psalm 103:8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. And in Psalm 145:8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger. Each and every one of those statements is a theological truth. Every one of those statements states a theological truth concerning the Lord, concerning who the Lord is, concerning what the Lord is. And now in our text, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And by using the personal possessive pronoun my, he now takes the theological and he makes it practical to his life. The theology is, the Lord is righteous. The Lord is greater than all, and he is long-suffering, and he is merciful, and he is gracious, and he is good, and he is able. Those are theological truths. The practical is, this one who is all of these things is my shepherd in life. And we need to know this. It will take, and this in no way undermines theological truth, but it will take more than theological soundness to enable you to thrive spiritually in this life. You must be able to take the theology and apply it to your life if you're going to live the life that is described in the Word of God. The Lord is my shepherd. That is the first clause, an independent clause. It stands by itself. The second clause is I. Again, a clause must have a subject. And in this case, I is the subject. The subject is no longer the Lord here. The subject is I. Must have a predicate that is describing this subject. I shall. I shall. A verb expressing the future. I shall not want. I shall not lack. I shall not be destitute. Again, it is a dependent clause, absolutely dependent on what has gone before, which is the Lord is my shepherd. So the words I shall not want really is the confidence and the contentment that results from the Lord is my shepherd. So what he's saying is, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall never be deficient in proper care and management. It is the negative way of saying the Lord is sufficient for my life. Because he is my shepherd, I shall not be destitute of his care. So again, it's another way of saying he is sufficient. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That is an unequivocal, unambiguous, emphatic statement. It is not predicated on anything but the Lord, and is spoken in a tone of absolute conviction and assurance. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Notice that phrase or that clause, I shall not want, really is a summary of the Lord's providential and shepherd care. I shall not want. It paints a picture of stillness before God. It paints a picture of an inward calm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. They are words of peace. They are words of contentment. They are words of fulfillment. They are words of happiness. Words of fearlessness and security. They are words that have their basis in the person and being of God and not man. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want because He's my shepherd. It's not I shall not want because of anybody or anything else. It's only because of His being and His person. And because He is my shepherd, I shall not want. So you have the opening statement of the 23rd Psalm. Now, the Psalm, of course, enlarges upon that statement. Again, this is the topic sentence. Psalm 23 is a paragraph. It is developing the topic being the Lord is my shepherd. So the Psalm enlarges upon this. And throughout the Psalm, you see the psalmist is the object. He is the recipient of the shepherd's acts and doings. All through the psalm, the shepherd is acting, and the psalmist is the recipient of the shepherd's acts. Notice as you read the psalm, He, that's the Lord, maketh me. He maketh me. Next, you see, He leadeth me. He restoreth me. He leadeth me. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me. Thou anointest mine head. Several verbs there. They're all in the present tense, all continuous. And every single one of them, the Lord as shepherd is the doer. And we are the receiver. So each of these statements portray the presence and the work of the shepherd in the life of the psalmist. But they portray the shepherd as one who listens. He is one who has personal interest in the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, and He listens, and He has a personal interest in me. It pictures Him as one who instructs, as one who leads, as one who is patient. The Lord is my shepherd, and He's patient. He's forbearing. He is a burden bearer. It pictures Him as one who edifies, and He's loyal, and He's loving, and He's kind. And the Lord is my shepherd. And as such, He wisely, skillfully, and in a timely manner ministers to me. The Lord is my shepherd. So, what we see in this 23rd Psalm really is a life impacted by the Lord. It is a life lived in the reality of who God is. And again, the psalm, being a paragraph, enlarges upon and details the subject, which is the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And from these details, we learn several truths. Many of them are implied, but we learn several truths about the world. About the world in which the shepherd acts upon our behalf. The very first statement, the Lord is our shepherd, tells us that this world is a place where a shepherd is needed. The implication of that being is the world is a place of danger. The world is a place of need. And the Lord is my shepherd. The world is a place where rest is needed. That implies that the world is a very demanding place. It's a place of weariness. It's a place of exhaustion. And the Lord has green pastures where He provides that rest for His people. The world is a place where refreshment is needed. The implication is that the world is a barren place. It's a place of thirst. And the Lord has still waters where refreshment is provided. The world is a place where restoration is needed. The implication being that the world is a place of suppression. That the world is a place of regression and decline. And He restoreth my soul. Where would we be if the Lord did not restore our soul? And oh, how long-suffering He is. He restores our soul over and over and over and over again. He restoreth my soul. The world is a place where guidance is needed. The implication is that the world is a place of ignorance and waywardness and error and delusion. And He leadeth beside the still waters. And He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. The world is a place where courage is needed. The implication being that the world is a place of fear. The world is a place of anxiety. The world is a place of uneasiness and danger. It's an unsettling place. And yet the psalmist said, I will fear no evil. The reason? The Lord. The Lord's presence. Thou art with me. The world is a place where comfort and protection are needed. The implication is the world is a very precarious place, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The world is a place where provision is needed, implying that the world is a place of emptiness and famine, and thou preparest a table before me. The world is a place where divine anointing is needed. The implication being that the world is a place of trouble, the world is a place of inconvenience and annoyance. And thou anointest my head with oil. The world is a place where the goodness and grace of God, goodness and mercy of God, are needed. The implication being that this world is a place of sin and unworthiness. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Because of this fact, the Lord is my shepherd. I can live with an overflowing cup. My cup can always be overflowing. The psalmist bursts forth with this in verse 5, my cup runneth over. And it's all because the Lord is my shepherd. It's all because of what the Lord does in my life. But there are a lot of God's people. It would be quite a stretch to say that their cups are running over with the things of the Lord. And the reason, why is that? Why is that? Is it a lack of sufficiency in the Lord? No, of course not. The Lord is my shepherd. And if we live in the reality of that, our cup will run over. There's a lot of reasons why many do not have cups that run over, and we'll just mention a few. One of the reasons, and probably the number one reason, is that people hold their cups beneath the world's cisterns. And then there are some who don't have their cups upright. There are others who have their cups covered. Covered with the things of the world, covered with feelings or whatever. And there are those who just have leaky cups. Brother Hancock used to say, you've got a hole in your bucket. That's true of a lot of people. They can't hold what the Lord has for them. But there is a wonderful life illustrated in this 23rd Psalm. And it is a life that every one of us who know the Lord can live. And our lives ought to be defined in this 23rd Psalm. We ought to be able to read every verse and see the and identify with it in our own lives. We ought to be able to say with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd. Again, a very simple statement. The Lord is my shepherd. It is a very simple statement, but there is a depth that you and I can never, ever reach. Never fully understand, never fully comprehend in that statement. The Lord is my shepherd. That is true. That has been true all through my saved life. That'll be true when old age sets in. That'll be true when sickness sets in. The Lord is my shepherd. It is true no matter what the circumstances are. The Lord is my shepherd. Circumstances have no bearing upon this fact. Circumstances do not increase or lessen the fact that the Lord is my shepherd. So again, we pray that this is a very apt description of our lives. A very familiar verse of Scripture, very familiar passage of Scripture, the 23rd Psalm. But oh, let it never become so familiar that you forget what it really says and what it really means. Again, do pray for one another. Do pray for Sister Theta as she continues her journey. Just pray for her. Continue to remember Angela's family in prayer. And just pray for one another. Take time every day to mention every single member of Home Church and their families. Just pray for each and every one. And everyone take the time to do that every single day. Don't forget one another, to lift one another up in prayer. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly